At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, bright and early on this Wednesday morning, to recap what we saw on a Tuesday following a holiday weekend, an elimination game last night in Dallas, Texas, but we're not done quite yet in the Western Conference Finals. A third consecutive overtime game in the Eastern Conference Finals on the ice in the Stanley Cup postseason, and a ton of Major League Baseball to recap after Memorial Day weekend as well. A lot to get to here, DRS, in these 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Clap your hands, everybody. Why is that? We're going to have more basketball in the Western Conference, and we love to see it, even though I did think the Mavericks would wrap it up last night. But as I told you repeatedly, Ben, I was hoping that wasn't the case. But having said that, I crowed a lot yesterday about triple-doubles. Luka Doncic got his. I had a 50-1 same-game parlay that involved a triple-double for Anthony Edwards and came up one assist short of getting that 50-1 parlay yesterday. So tough scene, but I sort of feel vindicated because I kept saying he's going to be on the verge of doing it all. He did it last night. Just needed one more assist. Couldn't get it, but a great performance for the T-Wolves, and we're headed back to Minneapolis.
DRS, in the business of sports handicapping, it's hard to pat yourself on the back because you hit nearly as often as you miss. So if you celebrate, then you must degrade at the same time. It can't be just highlighting the good, but letting go of the bad. So I'm not going to necessarily pat ourselves on the back, but I will say I think we were pretty spot on overall in the handicap of game number 4 of the Western Conference Finals last night in Texas. The Mavericks up 3-0 entering game number 4. Minnesota trying to stave off elimination and keep this season and this series afloat to head back to the Twin Cities. And that's what the Timberwolves do. They win by 5 in game number 4 to force a game number 5. 105-100 outright as a short 1.5-point underdog on the road in Dallas. For the first time in this series, Minnesota wins a basketball game. For the first time in this series, the total of 211 does stay under. And Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns found their groove last night. Cat big in the second half to the tune of 25. Anthony Edwards scores 29. Both players over their points prop. They combine for 54. As Minnesota wins its first game in the WCF, a 3-1 series lead now for Dallas, but the Timberwolves victorious 105-100.
We were waiting on Cat. We are waiting on the big guy to do some big things. And midway through the fourth quarter, back-to-back possessions draining triple and then another triple here, which gave the Timberwolves back the lead for good. And that 105-100 victory, Anthony Edwards also 29-10 and 9. Oh, I hate to say that 9 assists. It would have been a magnificent performance. But we were waiting on the two superstars to show up. They did that. More basketball here. And Anthony Edwards said it best in the post-game press conference again. Michael Parsons is sitting there. Hey, man, I see you got some shoes on. I'm going to bring you some real nice shoes for game number 6. We'll see you back here. Would love to see a game 6 in this series. I'm not going to lie.
The Dallas Mavericks still a win away from the NBA Finals. The Dallas Stars a few wins away from the Stanley Cup Final. Our most recent champion in baseball, the Texas Rangers. In Arlington, not far away from the city center of Dallas, that would leave the Cowboys as the only team that has failed to even sniff a conference championship in the last 25-plus years. And yet the Cowboys in attendance last night, did they put the kibosh on the Mavericks from winning this series in only four? Plenty more reaction from game number four of the Western Conference Finals, and we're glad we still have NBA playoff basketball to discuss this week. Not two sweeps in both of the conference finals. Now we go to the ECF in the Stanley Cup postseason. For the third straight game, we see an extra session of overtime, but this time it's the Panthers victorious, coming back to take game number four on home ice 3-2. Down 1-0 after the first. They score two in the second. The Rangers equalize in regulation. Florida wins it in OT. This series tied at two games. All the Panthers were a minus 170. Moneyline home ice favorite last night.
Yeah, Panarin got 2 points last night, adding his 9th and 10th assist of the playoffs. But also, when we talk about overtime, you expect, like, ooh, was it a long grind? No. We're roughly a minute in to the first overtime period. Sam Reinhart gets that goal, and now we're tied up at 2-2. This is what we were supposed to have, a best of three now moving forward in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's been an awesome series, back and forth each game. Who knows who's going to have home ice advantage, but it turns out that if you are the Rangers, all right, let's go back to Madison Square Garden. We got two in our building, one in Florida. Let's see what happens. But a fantastic series just got even better as we head in now to game number five.
Yeah, it's going to be tight all throughout. Tied at two all. We head back to Madison Square Garden in just a few nights, as Donnie alluded to, for game number five of the Eastern Conference Finals. Now to Major League Baseball. A doubleheader yesterday up in Queens at Citi Field after a postponement on Monday due to weather between the Dodgers and the Mets. L.A. entering this midweek set, losers of five in a row. That came to a halt yesterday. The Mets cannot hold on to a lead. In the first game of the doubleheader, Freddie Freeman, a two-run shot in the 10th as the Dodgers tied it in the 9th to send it to extras. L.A. wins game 1, 5-2. L.A. wins game 2, 3-0 behind a couple of long balls. It started early and often with Will Smith.
Yeah, who knows what the future of the Mets is going to be, which is such an interesting franchise. Doesn't take away from the doubleheader win by the Dodgers, which they really needed that. But the Mets were one of those teams that got new ownership, and they promised, we're just going to spend more money than everybody and bring a World Series to town. Now to sort of tear it down and then have this 22-31 baseball team in the Big Apple, not a good look, especially when the Yankees are playing good baseball across town as well.
A triple header of WNBA action last night. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever etched their first win of the season and her WNBA career over the weekend in L.A. against the Sparks. Last night in Indy against the Sparks, it was a hot shooting night for Los Angeles. 14 of 23 from deep, and despite a 30-point performance from Caitlin Clark that saw three steals, three blocks, six boards, and five dimes, and three made triples, 30 points, her career high. The Sparks win outright as an underdog of 5.5 points on the road, 88-82.
It's one of the few sports that you're going to take a look at right now and say, we don't even care what the record for the Fever is. We just want to watch Caitlin Clark play. She's getting better on a night-to-night basis, dropping 30 points last night. Eventually, those wins will come, but I think we're all enjoying just watching her play the game right now.
Six dimes, five boards. I flipped those off, but she filled up the stat sheet. Aaliyah Boston, 17 points as well. I watched the entirety of the fourth quarter. I'll just say some questionable coaching decisions and offensive structure for Indiana with two all-world and number one overall picks in the last 2 years. The Connecticut Sun, the best team in the WNBA at this moment. They remain unbeaten, a perfect 6-0 for Connecticut after they hammer, and I mean hammer, the Phoenix Mercury last night at home. 70-47. Connecticut easily covers as a 7.5-point home favorite.
Staying easily under the total as well. Hey, man, the WNBA is going to be here all summer long, so get used to us giving those updates to you, and we'll see if we can get some of that good basketball action.
Connecticut off to a 6-0 start. The Seattle Storm win on the road in Chicago as a 2.5-point favorite covering as well. Been a big offseason of optimism for the Houston Texans. Nico Collins now inking a contract extension, 3 years, $72.75 million. Everybody in C.J. Stroud's wide receiving core is happy.
Look, everybody's happy at the wide receiver position unless you reside in Cincinnati, who you feel like you don't need to pay any of your wide receivers, even if they don't show up to the first day of OTAs. Trouble brewing in Cincinnati. Every other wide receiver getting paid. Nobody in Cincinnati. Time to fade those Bengals.
Jamar Chase, T. Higgins have not been there for OTAs. French Open wouldn't be a 7-7 without a French Open recap. Novak Djokovic rolls in straight sets in his opening round, seeking his 25th Grand Slam. Donnie, thoughts?
I mean, imagine playing a sport on clay. I mean, what is this? What are we talking about here?
Pottery making in Paris. We go to game four of the Western Conference Finals now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We still have a Western Conference Finals to break down for you live right here on this Wednesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Finally, in the WCF, the Minnesota Timberwolves get a win. We will see at least five games and not both of the conference finals ending in only four and a very fast sweep. As Minnesota wins game number four last night on the road in Dallas, 105-100. The T-Wolves winning outright as a short 1.5-point underdog. Even money, plus 100 on the money line. Dallas, minus 118 on the other side. And a total that closed at 211 stays under. Minnesota's first victory in the Western Conference Finals. The first under in the four games of the WCF as well. Something may be correlated in there. And Donnie, a return to form for both Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns last night. The two superstars for Minnesota combined for 54 points. The T-Wolves stave off elimination.
Yeah, surprised they won last night. I really am, because I didn't like what I saw over the first three games, which included, you know, there's one thing to be said, Ben, about your two best players playing great basketball and you losing games. You know, throw your hands up. What are you going to do? The other team is just better. But what we were seeing out of the Minnesota Timberwolves was their superstar players not matching the superstars on the Mavericks. And last night, they outdid them. And how about this? Karl-Anthony Towns, and a much maligned Karl-Anthony Towns, who self-proclaimed the best big man shooter of all time, couldn't find and, you know, hit water out of a boat at this point. But you're saying to yourself, 9 of 13, Ben, from the field, 30 minutes and 4 of 5 from three-point range, which included a perfect 3 of 3 from the field free throw line, 25 points. That is exactly what you needed. And how many times did we talk about Anthony Edwards early in the series? Hey, Ant, get off the three-point line. You're a dominant athlete. Get to the rim. 2 of 5 from three-point range. That's what you want to see. So you have to keep the defense honest. Let them know you're going to shoot the three-point shot and make a fair amount of them, which 2 of 5 you'll take each and every night. But the 29 points coming from being aggressive with 25 chances at the rim. And also keep in mind, having those 10 rebounds and 9 assists on offense, he was a part of the entire game flow, which you needed to see. Now they got that first win. Do we still think the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to win the series? Absolutely not. I don't think they are. But that was a big win last night that I didn't anticipate. And they rose up and played a quality fourth quarter, which included, once again, Karl-Anthony Towns midway through that fourth quarter, knocking down back-to-back triples. That was a massive sign just to put some, you know what? I can shoot the three-point shot in big moments and make these shots. Good win by the T-Wolves.
His points prop last night for Cat, 19.5, 1.5 made threes. He finally got over both of those numbers. And frankly, as Donnie and I discussed multiple times throughout the postseason, entering game number four last night, if you are going to keep your season afloat, if you are going to send this series to a fifth game back in Minneapolis, you need to lead with your superstars. And that is what happened. Karl-Anthony Towns over his points prop, finishing with 25. Anthony Edwards over his points prop of 27.5, finishing with 29, 10 boards, one dime shy of that triple-double that Donnie alluded to yesterday, a 27-1 number. And this was not a blowout victory for the Minnesota Timberwolves to resurface as a legit threat in the Western Conference Finals. Yes, they have forced a fifth game. Yes, we will discuss the overall WCF outlook following game number four last night in Dallas. But every game so far, Donnie, in this four-game set to this point, decided by single digits, 9 points or less. 3 of the 4 decided by 5 points or less. In the second half, no lead was larger than 8, and that was the Timberwolves pulling away in the final 2 minutes before Luka Doncic and Dallas got it back to just a one-possession game in the final 30 seconds. These games have been grinded out and close to the bitter end. Minnesota wins outright as a short underdog. The Timberwolves in this postseason, 6-2 straight up and against the number as an underdog, then, of course, throughout this playoff run. And as we shared, all four wins for Minnesota in their second round set against the Nuggets, total stayed under. The T-Wolves win their first game in the Western Conference Finals, and it's the first under of this series as well, staying under the total of 211 pregame.
Yes, it did. So that correlation does line up because the better defensive team is the Minnesota Timberwolves. If you think they're going to win and the game stays under, they have a better chance of that. But also Anthony Edwards, late in that game, under a minute to go, one possession ball game, made a big time shot here to put them back up 5 points. So you started to also gain that momentum. It would be a little bit different. It said, well, McDaniels had 32 points, or Rudy Gobert showed up and scored 25 points to rescue them, and we would still be waiting here on a Wednesday morning saying to ourselves, my goodness, is Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns ever going to play? That confidence that they just got from game four, which was an elimination game for them, staving it off and going back to Minneapolis, that is massive here because Anthony Edwards can say, okay, we're back in the series and I expect to be here for game number six, as he said last night, but just Carl Anthony Towns stepping away, catching a breather from all that humiliation, I guess you can say, where we kept on posting the graphics how he couldn't make a three-point shot from a guy that's known to make the three-point shot. Liked everything what I saw for the Timberwolves, but also keep in mind, Dallas didn't get blown out. They have three more chances to close this out. And if we think it's going to be an automatic game six back in Dallas, you're a little bit misguided there. The Dallas Mavericks has shown they can win on the road in big spots. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did actually win in game number five. But once again, the fan in me, the content person in me, comes out and goes, boy, take this as long as possible. And one quick point on this too. You know, sat back in their lazy boys last night watching this game, laughing and smiling. It was the Boston Celtics. They loved that victory by the Timberwolves.
As long as this prolongs, we have said it multiple times, game one of the NBA Finals does not change based on the result of the WCF. It is a week from tomorrow. That's when it starts, Thursday, June 6th. Speaking of Dallas's dynamic duo, for the first time in this series, both Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving stay under their pregame points prop. 29.5 was the number for Luka. He finishes with 28. Oh, by the way, 15 boards and 10 dimes. His second triple-double in this series out of only four games. First time in this set, DRS, Kyrie Irving has not reached at least 20. He has scored at least 20 in the previous three entering last night. 30 in two of the three, only 16 points last night.
Yeah, no, and you're not going to be great every night. And we saw this out of Kyrie Irving where the Mavericks were still able to win with him giving, I don't say subpar performances isn't fair, but not that superstar performance that we anticipate. And I said yesterday, I didn't know if I could bet Minnesota the full game, but maybe take them the first quarter or the half. You would have covered both of those spreads yesterday, but the Timberwolves hang on, and we got ourselves a game five and maybe a new series here, Ben.
That's what we'll discuss up next. Yes, Minnesota has a win in the Western Conference Finals. Does it truly change the outlook? Can the Timberwolves make it a set? We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
No sweeps allowed in the Western Conference Finals. We will see at least five games as we get ready to head back to Minneapolis, a second change of venue in the WCF for game number five tomorrow night. Now, the Minnesota Timberwolves are a 4.5-point favorite for a fifth game. If you were just to follow the odds outlook, we might have ourselves a series. But this is the 156th. time in the NBA postseason, in the history of playoff action around the association, we have seen a team take a 3-0 series lead in a best-of-seven set. In all of the 155 previous times, including the Celtics over the Pacers, the team that had a 3-0 series lead ended up winning the series outright. Only 15 times have we ever seen the team down 0-3 win two straight games to force a game six. Only four times in NBA postseason history have we seen the team down 0-3 win three straight and force a game seven. Can Minnesota accomplish the unfathomable? the odds don't necessarily stack it up. It's still Dallas minus 650 to win this series outright, minus 600 rather, to win this series outright. But DRS, now I ask you, screw the odds. Do the Timberwolves have a chance?
To win the series, no, I don't think they do, because that still means three straight victories against a quality opponent in Luka Doncic. Now, granted, you might have a better chance at pulling off this miracle comeback if we start to heal. Man, Luka's really bad on his knee. He's going to sit a game or two out, and maybe it's going to come down to this game seven. You still have to play flawless basketball for three straight games. Yes, you're on your home court for Minnesota in game number five. That should be a big deal because you're favored now by 4.5 points. We also saw that graphic come up where if you're asking like the series prices and laying the line, minus 2.5 games, plus 2.5 games. It's basically just the money line here for game number five. The Timberwolves are a minus 190 favorite. If they win that game, obviously you'd cash that and also would cash in that plus 2.5. I do think the Minnesota Timberwolves win game number five. I don't think we go seven games. But having said that, it's not even a foregone conclusion. Like, okay, it's automatic. Like the Timberwolves somehow are just going to win game five easy and then be able to return the favor and win again in game number six, heading back to game number seven, which you would think they have no chance at winning for the Dallas Mavericks. We've seen that conclusion happen before where that road team still finally steps up. You have to have four clunkers in a row from the Mavericks. That wasn't even a clunker that we saw last night, but just the odds are stacked against them. You know Luke and Kyrie in one of these next three games are going to combine for 65 points again, and Karl-Anthony Towns might pull it 0-for-8 from the three-point line, and it's a wrap at this point. I love the fact that we have an extended series, which at least gets to game number five, but again, the confidence meter here, still low. We haven't seen it before, and that's a good basketball team for the Mavericks to win one out of the next three games.
Listen, as the odds would tell you, and as the trends of a long-standing postseason action in the NBA would say, it's difficult for Minnesota even to win game number five. 15 out of 155 times have we seen a team down 0-3 win two consecutive games to even force a game six. But the odds here are saying there is a chance. Minnesota, a 4.5-point favorite for game number five. Donnie is correct. When you look at the odds for Dallas to cover 2.5 games in the series spread, it's minus 190, and that's the same exact price, it's plus 160 for Dallas to cover 2.5 games. Sorry, I got confused because we're flashing the game board for game five instead of the series odds. For Dallas to cover 2.5 games, it's plus 160. That is their price on the money line for game number five as well. And I will say this. You see that plus 450 price for Minnesota to win the series outright? As we show you the correct score odds as well, who wins the series and in how many games, the Timberwolves only have one way of potentially winning this series. That is in seven at plus 420. If you think Minnesota pulls off something we have never seen in NBA playoff history, just bet them outright in the series odds. And my final point, Donnie, before I kick it back to you, the odds expect Dallas to win this series in six. It is the shortest price available. As we have seen, the Mavericks have been at least a slight favorite, laying 1.5 for both games 3 and 4 at home. You could have a plus money price for the Mavericks in a potential sixth game to clinch this series back on their own home floor. Gives you hedge money line opportunities for that sixth game.
Exactly. Game number five, as we know, the Timberwolves are the favorite. Game number six, the Dallas Mavericks, barring any massive injuries, will be the favorite there. And then if we do get to a game number seven, the Timberwolves, again, will be back as that 4.5 to 5-point favorite, hoping it happens here. But also, this isn't your normal team that goes down 0-3 in a series. The Timberwolves are really good. Could they get it together and pull a rabbit out of a hat? Maybe. We just never seen anything like this in NBA history. It would be an unbelievable feat if they even got to game number seven.
So we'll take an early look at game number five. You've already seen the odds. We'll do so up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We have one day off of NBA playoff action because, of course, the Boston Celtics have already swept the Indiana Pacers. They're just waiting to see who wins the Western Conference Finals before the NBA Finals begin exactly 1 week from tomorrow. That is Thursday, June 6th. So tomorrow night, Thursday, game number 5 in Minneapolis of the Western Conference Finals. The Timberwolves keep this series and their season afloat with a victory in game number 4. We head back to the Twin Cities for a game 5 where the spread is 4.5 and the total is 209 and a hook. A little bit of market movement to Minnesota, as you will see, and the total up by a half point as well. What are your early thoughts, DRS, for this fifth game of the WCF tomorrow?
Hey, it should be a Minnesota Timberwolves win because you finally got what you were waiting for. Not only a win to enter into the series and say, okay, maybe we can make a longer series out of it, but you saw the superstars, Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, get back into the flow, and now you're at home where you know your B-level guys are supposed to play even better than when they do on the road. So I take a look at that overnight line, which at the FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey opened up as a 4-point line, increases to a 4.5. I don't have any issue with that. The total also opened up at 208.5, now sitting at 209.5. No issue with that either. This point, I expect to have a great performance out of both basketball teams, but also we are handicappers and you read into the odds. The odds are right now the Minnesota Timberwolves should win game number 5, therefore going back to Dallas for a game number 6. And we all would love to see that as well. But I just think the way the Timberwolves won yesterday was so big. It wasn't they pulled a rabbit out of a hat with an unknown guy scoring 30 points. You leaned on your biggest stars in the biggest moments and they provided the fuel to the victory. That's what I like the most about it here. They didn't get a bad performance out of the Dallas Mavericks, but you finally got what you came for with the Timberwolves, able to have a lead in the fourth quarter and close the door with an Anthony Edwards jump shot, which gave them that 5-point lead late in the game. That's what I wanted to see, because that rolls over. That momentum goes there. Karl-Anthony Towns in the first quarter, if he went 0-for-8 again from 3-point range in game number 4, maybe he's like, you know what? I'll pass this basketball. He knocks down a couple 3-point shots, sees that ball go through. Ben, what's he doing in game number 5? Hey, man, confidence is a go. Let's let it roll.
He didn't even shoot a 3 in the opening half. He took his time to get the 3 balls into it. He made 1 3 in the third and then started to find his footing with a couple of clutch back-to-back 3-pointers in that fourth quarter as well. Karl-Anthony Towns, the first time 20-plus in this series. He scores 25 in game number 4. His points prop slightly up for game number 5, 20 and a hook. Same story for Anthony Edwards, 27.5 last night, 28.5 tomorrow. Luka Doncic, 30 and a hook, the highest points prop available at this moment for game number 5. And despite only 16 last night in Dallas, Kyrie Irving remains at 23.5. Again, all 4 games so far in the Western Conference Finals have been decided by single digits, 9 points or less, 3 of the 4 by 5 points or less. With that being said, we have seen all the 4 wins, the winning team cover a number. Dallas outright as a dog in the opening 2 games in the Twin Cities. The Mavericks winning by 9 in game 3, covering as a short 1.5-point home favorite. Minnesota outright as a small underdog yesterday in game number 4. Could there be a chance, DRS, for the T-Wolves to win game 5 outright, send us back to Dallas for a game 6, but the Mavericks keep it within that margin?
Yes, absolutely. And here's the one thing that you have to know about watching these games as they play out. It's not as if we're going back to Minnesota like, yep, this is the better basketball team. Now they're just going to turn on the gas pedal. You know who's waiting on that other sideline there. You know they have a very good coach, as well as Luka Doncic, probably going to get another triple-double or at least get close to it here in game number 5. And if Kyrie Irving shows up and is that one of those dagger guys early on to sort of stave off that crowd momentum, you know it's going to be a close game. I actually would be surprised if we didn't go back to game number 6 back in Dallas, but also at the same point, I would be surprised if we had like a 15-20 point blowout at that point. I think we come right down to the wire. So there's a legitimate chance that Dallas can stay with inside that number, if not win that basketball game. It's not a foregone. Like, even though Anthony Edwards, I love the confidence. That's what you're supposed to do, is he was carrying the mic saying, what do you want me to say? Yeah, we're going home to take a loss in game number 5. Like, no, we'll see you in game number 6. That's my attitude, and that's what you're supposed to have. But I'm not going to be surprised if this game, again, is 1 or 2 possessions with under a minute to go. That's what the anticipation is.
And again, if the odds track, as of this moment, the Mavericks to win this series in 6 games, 4-2 is plus 150. Dallas will be even a slight favorite at home. They've only laid 1.5 in both of the games in Dallas so far in this series. But there you go. There's your value. If you think Minnesota can stave off elimination once more and win game 5 tomorrow night in the Twin Cities. With all of that being said, It is our second consecutive elimination game. And maybe it was elimination. Maybe it was the T-Wolves finally victorious. But last night, the total was 211. First Minnesota win. First under of the WCF. Total back down by a point and a half at 209 and a hook. Last night, highest total of this series. Tomorrow night, slated to be the second highest total of the Western Conference Finals. How many points are we going to see in game number five?
If I'm being honest with myself, I just like to see what I liked what I saw out of Minnesota on offense here. Maybe we get an even more open flow. But then you'd say, Donnie, you are contradicting yourself. How many times you've come on the show and said that you love those early over-unders to go over in games 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. And then as the series starts to get close out, you go to those unders. But I just have a good feeling now about Minnesota being back in the series and being comfortable. And that is a big deal. If Karl-Anthony Towns, he doesn't have to make 50% of his threes. But you know if he's going to be effective from the three-point line, you have to adjust your defense. You can't just say, let him take all the three-point shots he wants. We'll crowd the paint. As long as he's making those wide-open daggers here, it opens it up for everybody else on the court. Fun to cheer for the over, even though I've certainly panned and told you guys, don't take these overs later in the series. And now we're starting to get later in the series.
Listen, it's when things tighten up, when you are fighting to keep your season alive for a chance to play in the NBA Finals, you would expect things to pick up in intensity, mainly in effort on the defensive side of the floor. It's what happened in game number four last night. 209 in the hook, the total as of right now for game number five tomorrow. Again, this is the 156th series that we have seen a team in NBA playoff history take a 3-0 series lead. In the previous 155, the team that had the 3-0 series advantage has won all 155 series. Minnesota tried to become the 16th team in NBA playoff history to even win two straight and force a game six. It does not often happen, and yet the odds expect it. And I'm not going to balk at the odds, but I think my conviction wavers just a little bit. And I had Minnesota money line as my best bet yesterday on the show. So the Dallas Mavericks did not wrap up the series last night. There will be at least a fifth game. The Western Conference Finals continues. And Donnie said, sitting back in the lazy boys, maybe the legs in the hyperbolic chambers to get rested, the Boston Celtics most likely enjoy that ahead of game one of the NBA Finals a week from tomorrow, Thursday, June 6th. And the odds makers agree with the lazy boys, minus 230. The price better by 10 cents on the Celtics to win the NBA championship in title number 18. Don't bet it. And why do I say don't bet it? I think Boston has a great shot of winning their 18th Larry O'Brien trophy in NBA history. But DRS, yesterday, we told you that line at minus 220 was very indicative of what the early hypothetical look was for the Celtics versus the Mavericks. They were hanging the hypothetical series price yesterday. It was minus 215. You're paying a bad price. When Dallas wins this series, and more than likely the Mavericks will, that number's going to come back down. At least that would be my thought, barring any injuries. So don't bet the Celtics just yet. That's my perspective.
No, it is. And the only reason that you would look and say maybe it's getting a little bit extended is maybe with more games comes more injury possibilities, which the Celtics have certainly feasted on so far in the Eastern Conference. We're not saying it's going to happen in the NBA Finals, but you're right about this. If 230 goes to 240 to 250, just wait on it. That number's going to backtrack the minute we actually have a victor in the Western Conference. So Ben is right. Don't bet the Celtics right now. Wait on that. Wait.
Guy doesn't often agree with me. Donnie, thank you so much. Around Major League Baseball, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How could the Dodgers snap a five-game losing skid ahead of a doubleheader yesterday in Citi Field against the New York Mets? They win both of those two games. After a rainout on Monday's Memorial Day slate, the Dodgers and the Amazons square off for two yesterday. It doesn't matter if it's Edwin Diaz. It doesn't matter if it's Adam Ottavino. The Mets cannot hold on to a lead when they are up in the top of the ninth. Yesterday, the Dodgers even it at two in the first game of the doubleheader. Freddie Freeman hits a two-run shot in the top of the tenth in extras. The Dodgers add on another run. They win 5-2 in the opener. Booked as a minus 210 money line favorite. The Dodgers make good on that price with Tyler Glass now on the bump and Tyler McGill on the other side for New York. Sensational. Game number two, DRS. The Dodgers hit a home run in the first. Will Smith, they never look back. They win game number two by a final of 3-0. Booked as a minus 126 money line road favorite up in Queens against the Mets. Bad times for New York. Good times, at least, for the Dodgers, snapping a five-game skid with two straight wins.
They needed that. And usually you come into a doubleheader and say, we're probably just going to get a split here. But also, if you're the Dodgers, yeah, you haven't scored a run. Your offense has been terrible over the past couple games. You find yourself down 2-0. Oh, no, we're going to get shut out in game number one. We better win game number two. They end up winning both of those because the Mets just can't close anybody out, whether it's Edwin Diaz coming in to close or you give him a breather and bring somebody else in. It doesn't matter. Things aren't happening for them late in the innings. And that is troublesome because there's no more demoralizing defeat in Major League Baseball than having your bullpen blow a multi-run lead late in the game when you expected to win that game and have a formidable closer like the Mets actually have. But their bats aren't waking up. They sit 22-31 now in the season, but also more important, Dodgers perspective. You get that doubleheader sweep win. Now you're feeling good. Like, okay, we're wiping those bad vibes away over the past 4 to 5 days. Let's get back on it and see if we can destroy the Mets even more. But the question comes down to, we know the Dodgers are good. Coming into the season, we didn't expect a lot from the Mets, but I don't think anybody, even the harshest critic, expected 22-31 out of the gate. I don't know what the future for the Mets is, but right now that future is playing bad baseball.
22-32, DRS. It's even worse than 10 games below 500. No, I feel you there. The New York Mets were an even 500, 18-18 on May the 7th. From that point, New York is 4-14. They have lost 14 of their last 18, and they've had a lead at some point in the baseball game for many of those 14 losses. The Dodgers, a favorite in both of the doubleheader yesterday, despite being on the road, despite dropping five straight entering. The Dodgers have now been favored in 55 of 57 games this year. World Series rematch yesterday got started in Arlington, and like we saw last October into early November, the Rangers victorious over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Texas wins the opener of this midweek set 4-2 over the D-backs. A three-run bomb from Corey Seager in the bottom of the fifth. His seventh long ball in the last seven games for Texas was the difference. The Rangers were booked as a minus 130 home money line favorite. They win game number one 4-2.
That's a nice win by them, too. And also, we're taking a look at the superstars in the middle of that lineup. Adolis Garcia hitting 237. Seager, even as you said, seven home runs in 7 days, only hitting 259 on the season. And Marcus Semien has been a wonderful leadoff guy there for the Texas Rangers. He's hitting below 250 as well. You're waiting for that offense to take notes. But also keep in mind, the Texas Rangers, they can afford to have a slump to start the season. Why, Ben? Because they play in the AL West, and nobody's going to run away with that. And as long as you hang out around 500, you have a legitimate chance. There. You take a look at the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are at 25-29. You can't hang around that 500 mark because the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to be there and certainly running away right now with that division. So you're taking a look from two different perspectives, like Arizona, Texas, same boat, but not necessarily just because of the leagues and the divisions they play in. But I love what I'm seeing out of Corey Seager here. Eventually, that engine is going to get going on that offense, which does include Adolis Garcia in the middle of that lineup. I think they'll be fine. And to me, if I'm betting on one team moving forward in the West, it's probably the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, so right now, Texas gets the victory. They entered yesterday dropping 10 of their last 13 games, still three games below 500, 26-29. The D-backs entered three games below 500. They now fall to 25-29. The good news for Arizona, if there is a silver lining, outside of the Dodgers, Phillies, and Braves, and Atlanta's had some issues here as of late, of course, based on injuries as well. Only three other teams in the National League even have a winning record above 500, and those three other teams are no better than two games above 500. It's the Giants and the Padres playing better baseball within the National League West. San Francisco's won eight of its last 10 games, and the Chicago Cubs, who are a game above 500. So not terrible for the Arizona Diamondbacks if they still want to make a run to a wild card spot, of which they did last year, and of course it ended in a pennant in the National League. The D-backs and even 500, 7-7 straight up in their last 14 games. Again, as we look at the World Series hangover, Texas, three games below 500. You can see their prices to get back to the pennant much better than that of Arizona. And to Donnie's point, there's only one team in the American League West that has a winning record, and it's the Seattle Mariners. The M's have won both of their opening two games this week in a series against divisional foe, the Houston Astros. The Mariners victorious yesterday after a three-run eighth. They also win 4-2 over Houston, booked as a slight home money line favorite. They make good on that number. The Astros, Donnie, now 4-6 in their last 10 games after playing some better baseball entering this 10-game stretch.
Yeah, it's tough. Look, you're going on the road against a good opponent in Seattle. You're supposed to lose more games than you win. That's just the nature of the beast. But we've been saying this for quite some time on the Astros. When are they going to get started? Terrible start to the season. You sort of write them off. Then they go on a little bit of a winning streak. Then you look at the standings and realize that nobody wants to run away with the AL West. But maybe this is just the Houston Astros that we expect, where maybe they're just a 500 baseball team, a little bit more or a little bit less, which won't be enough to get them into the playoffs, which there is a lot of pedigree on that team that says championship, but that team, Ben, right now, certainly not playing like it here, and it's a surprise to see Kyle Tucker go 0-3 because it feels like he homers every game. But look, Altuve in the leadoff spot around 300, nobody else really helping him out outside of Kyle Tucker. That needs to change.
The Astros and Mariners still tied for the third best price to win the American League pennant at plus 750. More around the bigs up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line, recapping a full day around Major League Baseball from a Tuesday. American League Central divisional duel that has seen the Twins take two in a row over the Kansas City Royals. Yesterday in Minneapolis, the second straight victory for the Twins. They won 6-5 in game one. Close, but a one-run victory yesterday, 2-1, 2-run win for Minnesota, 4-2, booked as a home money line favorite against KC. Cole Reagans, three earned over five innings, did strike out seven, but picked up his third loss of the season for KC.
Yeah, the Twins, who were going through a little bit of an issue here with scoring some runs, but playing the Nationals here, then the Rangers, and now the Royals. They've been playing very good baseball as of late, and I've always liked that lineup. When you're taking a look even at RBI props, they have a lot of left-handed batters that they can place in against righties, and it makes the lineup interesting. Like Margot was at the top of the lineup yesterday, only hitting 208 on the season, but picked up two hits. But you know the normal suspects there, right? The Keplers, the Correas, the Jeffers, the Buxtons, who just came back from injury. And by the way, Buxton goes 2-for-2 yesterday. That's a nice improvement to get back into that lineup. Santana's been very good for them.
Yeah.
Only hitting 200, but as of late, coming through with some RBI shots. I like this Minnesota team. I don't think they're going anywhere in the grand scheme of things in the American League, but I think early on we identified them as probably the team to beat in the Central, and they're playing like it now, 30-24. Again, after that lapse of a couple really bad stretches on offense, they seem to be correcting those issues.
The American League Central right now, the best division in baseball based on records of their top three teams. They have the White Sox to probably hold them back in terms of the overall five-team combined record in this division. But the only division in baseball that sees three teams that has a record two games above 500 or better for all three. The American League East is close, but the Red Sox just one game above 500. The National League West, three teams with two games above 500. But the American League Central, with the Twins now 6 games above .500 in that third spot behind both KC and Cleveland. The Guardians bounced back from a loss to the Rockies. Cleveland now has won 10 of its last 11, 13-7 yesterday over Colorado in Coors Field, continuing to pace that division. Now we go to Milwaukee, where the Brewers, in a celebration type of way, etched out a victory in their first game of the set in Craig Council's return to Wisconsin. Yesterday it went to extras, and Chicago was victorious as an underdog, the Cubbies snapping a 5-game losing skid with a 6-3 victory in 10.
Yeah, and by the way, Brown had 7 innings pitched, no hits, no earned runs, 10 Ks pulled out of the game at 93. Why? Because that's just modern baseball. So we were trying to hold on there to get him a no-hitter. Weren't able to do that, but still picked up the victory in extras. And also, a couple plays across Major League Baseball yesterday, if you're an RBI hunter, which didn't cost me any, but Cody Bellinger, while that no-hitter was still intact, stole a home run away from Willy Adames late in that game. So something to keep an eye on. It's a good win for the Cubs here and a great pitching performance by Brown. And something we always hate to see, a kid is dominant out there. He's got 6 more outs to go. Like, 93, if you go to 105, your baseball career just might end. I mean, let the guy ride it out. Enough of this.
Ben Brown, a great start yesterday, 10 Ks, and did have that perfect no-hitter through 7 innings, as DRS mentioned. Freddy Peralta on the other side for Milwaukee, 11 Ks. You see a 6-3 final. Good. You're like, okay, game was 3-3. The Cubbies probably played it 3 in the top of the 10th. No, we went to extras at 1-1 after a Willy Adames game-tying RBI single, kind of in the bottom of the ninth. And then we saw a ton of runs. Make that, as I do my quick math, 7 in total in the 10th inning between the two sides. That can happen when you start with a runner in scoring position. Speaking of low-scoring games in regulation, the Giants win in extras yesterday as well, but 1-0 in 10 innings. San Francisco has taken both of this opening series against the Philadelphia Phillies, stemming the hottest team in all of MLB. Luis Matos, RBI, walk-off, fly-out, sack fly, I believe it was. 1-0 victory for the Giants, who again have won 8 of their last 10.
Yeah, bullpen game for San Francisco ended up beating Zach Wheeler, who was tremendous yesterday. 6 innings pitched, 2 hits, no earned runs. That should be good enough for a victory. But the Phillies sometimes play hide-and-seek on offense, which they're hiding right now. They got to come out of that shell sooner than later here because the Atlanta Braves, as much as banged up and maligned they are, they're getting a little bit closer to the Phillies when that lead should possibly be these 10 games right now. It's half of that.
The Phils have lost 3 straight. Atlanta won yesterday. The Braves still 10 games above .500, 31-21, just a 5-game difference as of this moment around the National League East. We will reset where the markets stand in Major League Baseball following Memorial Day weekend when we start our second hour, live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line, up next on Sports Grid.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.